I am a believer in medicine, and I'm a believer in alternative medicine. Quite frankly, I think there's some doctors out there that just do a wonderful job that try to take care of us. As a matter of fact, never told anybody this story, but the doctor who delivered me, okay, the doctor who delivered me at Mount Carmel Hospital at the time in Detroit also delivered my first child, Wendy. Same doctor. You know, you talk about strange and synchronicity. I mean, it wasn't like an accident. I mean, we kept him as the doctor. But there are some doctors out there that do a great job and they're devoted to their practice, dentists as well. But then there's some companies, there's some organizations that'll do everything they can to put the squeeze on you. There are some pharmaceutical companies out there that just care about the bottom line. They want to rush their drugs out to market without proper approval. And quite frankly, even the approval stage through the FDA, which I find to be very questionable, they push through drugs and then all of a sudden they take them off the market because they've killed people. Big problems out there. So in a moment, our guest is Tim Boland, and we're going to talk a lot about this and how it affects you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Tim Boland is a crisis management consultant and a consumer advocate in the healthcare industry. His company is called Juramed, which is a public relations and research group. In his crisis management role, Tim specializes in the problems of cutting-edge health professionals in North America. Innovation in healthcare is discouraged and outright attacked by the status quo. Boland feels that this is a bad thing and does something about it. In his role as a consumer advocate, he examines the reasons why the North American health systems are so poor compared to other areas of the world and suggests solutions. Boland has been invited to testify in both state and federal courts and is also considered by many to be an expert in the politics of health care in North America. He's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Tim, welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, good evening, George. Good morning to some of your listeners in the other parts of the country.
Exactly, depending on where they might be. And believe me, sometimes it's even worldwide, Tim. So it's I get calls now from New Zealand, Australia, Korea. So sometimes when we're on the air, it's another day in other places. Sometimes it feels like another week. Crisis management in healthcare. Before you came on, I truly believe that there's some great doctors out there who do all they can to help us. But there's some people in the industry, there are companies in the industry that also want to do whatever they can to suppress us. They don't want to find the cures to disease. And I guess that's one of your efforts. You have to battle that every day?
I sure do. My business professionally is that. I started out in crisis management years ago, came back to it after a time, and started about 11 years ago in healthcare. And now we're pretty well known across the country. In fact, we're the best at doing this particular thing.
Now, is that when they say crisis management, explain that to us.
Let me give you an example.
All right.
Healthcare in North America is one of the few areas where innovation is frowned upon. I mean, we may get a new computer change every day. I mean,
yeah.
The computer you bought yesterday is outmoded tomorrow, but not healthcare. They want to hold on to the status quo, and there are a lot of reasons for that. So much so that innovators are a threat to the status quo, and the system itself attacks them.
Now, are you saying, though, innovators, does that mean innovators in the alternative medicine field, those kinds of practitioners, or innovators who want to come up with some cures who may really stumble across and come up with some great medicine, for example, some pharmaceuticals that may do work?
All of the above, George. It's I have clients across that spectrum, and some people who, when you say alternative, they get accused of being alternative, and the day before they heard that word, they had no idea what that was.
Yeah.
They certainly don't feel they're there. It's really just innovation, thinking differently. I had a client about 8 years ago. It's on my site, Bob Sinenko. He got involved in the argument over Ritalin, and he was an allergist. And he says, wait a minute, before we put this kid on Ritalin, let's take a look and see what's causing this ADD, this attention deficit issue. Maybe there's something physical here because it just came on him. So let's look. And, of course, when he did look, he found that the child was allergic to red food coloring and preservatives and a few other things. And he had some yeast infections brought on by a reaction to over antibiotics. But the fact is they came after him for interfering in the process of putting the kid on Ritalin.
The main goal, and let's just use a pharmaceutical company now for lack of a better topic. The main goal of that company, if it's publicly held, is to make money for its shareholders, right?
Yes.
First and foremost. So anything else takes a back seat, I would think.
Well, hopefully there's with their products they're trying to achieve something. But if you're going to talk about pharmaceuticals for a minute, I have some history there. My father was a pharmacist, and I grew up in that world working in a drugstore, and my dad went through pharmacy school on the GI Bill. So I was there because I'm a war baby. And I remember my dad talking about that, and he talked to me. I was his oldest son, and he told me, I still have his Remington on my shelf. That's the Remington Pharmacopeia. And at that period, the drug companies were coming into their own world. They were taking all the natural products around and taking out the active ingredient and making that active ingredient in a laboratory and then patenting that active ingredient. That's the beginning of pharmaceuticals pretty much in this country.
When did this start?
He was in pharmacy school in 49 and 50, so right around in that period. I think my Remington on the shelf is 48 or 49.
All right, the pharmacists of the past then, Tim, maybe even a little before your father got
into it. Well, my Uncle Jack, of course, they went to work for him. He was a mortar and pestle man.
Yeah, and what did he use for whatever medicines he concocted, let's say, or put together?
It depends on whatever was around. In fact, my Uncle Jack was an irascible old guy. He used to throw those drug salesmen out of the store. He wouldn't want anything to do with those pill pushers. That's what he called them.
Well, you know what I do, for example? I mean, this may sound far-fetched. And, you know, again, if I go to my doctor and he says, hey, you need to do this, you know, generally I'll do it. But I do make up my own mind and I do a lot of reading, things like that. But I also read, for example, Edgar Cayce's health book. Somebody mailed it to me a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I look in there for different remedies for ailments that somebody might have, even friends and family. And I look at everything in there that Edgar Cayce talked about. And I think the guy's accuracy was uncanny. Mm-hmm. And he talks about all natural things to help cure these ills.
Well, you know, that's what we are. We're natural people. I mean, we're part of the earth, whether we want to consider it that or not. We're not that far removed from animals who live in the wild. We're part of the earth. That's where we come from. And if you think about natural products, I mean, the use of natural foods or herbs or anything else has begun since the beginning of time. I mean, I make a joke about this, but because it's important to know that natural herbs have been field tested since Igor walked out of the cave. And what I mean by that, I make a joke, but hear this. Let's say that one morning Igor walks out of the cave, leaves his wife behind to take care of the kids, and strolls on down through the valley, and there's another cave over there, and he sees a pretty girl over there and flirts with her, and his wife sees him. Maybe when he comes home for lunch, that salad he's got is going to give him diarrhea, because they know, the wife knows exactly what's going to happen. And it's, the reaction is the same. And if Igor makes a mistake of going by that cave again, she's going to give him a different kind of salad that's going to hurt even worse. Because since the beginning of time, we've known what herbs are good, what are bad.
Well, see, I've always believed, Tim, that this planet may have cures for every disease that we find or get.
I believe that to be true.
We just got to find them.
Yep. I came out of this, out of crisis management into healthcare, and I was just shook my head. And I just can't believe that there, when I couldn't, it was just unacceptable to find that in healthcare, there was this resistance to change. And not only is there a resistance to change, but there's an organized group that actively goes after people who are trying to make changes.
Was that always the case?
I think in any industry, there's always a resistance to change, no matter what industry it is. And you're going to have the old hardbound people who are like that. But now, it's been around for a while. There's books that talk about this happening and that happening and this happening and how the Western medicine crowded out the naturopaths and everything else in this country. And there's history books full of that. That's all true. But, you know, every business tends to try and get a step up or a leg up on its competitors. Well,
and that, or they try to protect whatever they have.
Exactly.
You know, the oil companies suppress anybody with new technology.
Right.
And I know it's out there just by talking to so many people on this program. I know in 5 years we could probably change most of our automobiles from the reliance on gasoline, for example, to go to some other kind of a fuel.
I think we're working on hydrogen right now. But now that you bring that up, and there's a lot of UFO stuff on your show, so I'll just say this right off. Right now, we have the technology that Star Trek talked about.
Mm.
And that most of that's being suppressed. But I go to the conventions, and I see it. The Air Force is doing some things. But everybody remembers when Bones, like they just make something up here for a minute.
Sure.
They pick up somebody off a planet, bring them up on the Enterprise, and Bones passes something that looks like a TV remote control over him and says, yep, you got cancer, you got AIDS, and you got athlete's foot. Nurse, put them on the whatever. You'll be fine in the morning, boy.
Yeah, he fixes them.
Exactly, right there on the spot. You know what? We could do that right now.
Here's the question.
Let's try and get it. But
why don't we want to make money curing people as opposed to making money just kind of keeping people around for a while, kind of suppressing the illness? Hepatitis C, for example.
Totally curable.
Yet there's really, you know, they give people interferon. It doesn't solve the problem. It suppresses it. Why don't they want to cure instead of just kind of
money.
Keeping people around?
It's all about money, George. Here's the way I look at it. Part of my people are advisors to the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
We have limited, you know, with any administration. But we were working with Tommy Thompson before he retired to try and get the idea across that there needs to be a paradigm shift in the way we look at healthcare in this country. And the big shift is simple. It's simple. Western medicine, which is the focus of my concerns and my complaint, and it came out of Western medicine, is relying on treatment. It treats. It means it treats the symptoms. Where we need to shift to?
Curing.
Well, and prevention.
Yes.
We can do both now.
It's
frankly,
like,
I know everybody who can. You know, George, this is horrible to think of this. This is the United States of America, the most powerful society in the history of mankind. We are 72nd in the quality of health care in the world. Morocco has better health care than we do.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
I would never have thought that.
Nicaragua, Costa Rica have better health care systems and better results, according to the World Health Organization report of 2001.
What are we, a step over some of these third world nations? That's it?
We're not even a step over. There are 71 countries ahead of us, and there's not the fully industrialized world. It's horrible. U.S. healthcare is horrible, and it's the highest-priced healthcare system in the world.
What do you think, though, of doctors, dentists, practitioners who went to school, who really believe they're doing the best they can?
I like them. If you think about that, you've seen the personality wheel. You know, everybody has a different personality. And, you know, it's interesting if you see these tests that you give what type of personality you are. And if you go through that training, you go, okay, how do you deal with the other personality types?
Sure.
I like the people that I work with, certainly in alternative, what are called alternative. I don't. I call them advanced medicine because they are true healers. They are so focused on the patient in front of them that they don't realize they're under assault and they don't know how to handle that assault. That's why my personality is a full-on warrior. I'm not a healer at all, but I get on well with the warriors because I understand what their problems are,
mm-hmm.
and I like the fact that they focus on their patients. And let me give you an example of another one there. I talked about the difference between prevention and cure, which you're absolutely right. You picked up that yourself. We haven't had a cure for anything in this country officially since polio, and that was 1954.
And then I think the guy stumbled into it. Salt did.
Well, and some people, some friends of mine say, well, Tim, you know, it's not entirely true that it grew polio either. But they're, you know, those are academic arguments there. Officially and in terms of, political science, we haven't cured anything since 54 because, frankly, there's a lot more money in treatment. And That's the way it is.
Every Labor Day weekend, a funny, wonderful man by the name of Jerry Lewis raises money for muscular dystrophy. He's been doing this for as long as I can remember, at least 30 years. I used to remember when I was working at a television station in Detroit, we'd carry it. So he's been doing it for a long, long time.
You from Detroit?
Yeah, sure. I'm born and raised.
Too.
Born and raised.
Yep. Eight-mile graduate.
Oh, yeah. I was born at 7 Mile in Livernois. and went to the University of Detroit, as a matter of fact. You know, but Jerry Lewis, you know, tries, he raises money, but here we are, some 30-plus years later, where this guy's been working his tail off around the clock on, you know, Labor Day weekend, raising now probably billions of dollars for MD. Are we any closer, after all this money's been raised, to solving this problem, this ailment?
I don't have the numbers for what Jerry Lewis is working on, but I do know about cancer, and it is a comparative thing. Let's just shift over to what I do know about, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Muscular
but you see where I'm getting
know.
It.
But cancer. Fortune magazine ran an article last year that we have not won the war on cancer. Frankly, the only people that profit from the war on cancer are those involved in the war. It's totally unacceptable to me that we have not solved the war on cancer. In fact, officially we haven't, and anybody who tries is. But frankly, I or my family or anybody I know, we know where to go, and cancer's not a problem for people in our world.
And you believe that?
Believe it. I know it.
Tell me.
I'll say cancer, forget it. I don't care what it is.
Any kind of cancer?
Any kind of cancer.
That to me, it sounds like someone has found some natural things here. Maybe
different approaches, George. Prevention is the issue.
Maybe hands-on things. That's possible.
Yes. Again, prevention is the issue because Aaron Brockovich talked to us about that. You remember the Aaron Brockovich movie?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What Aaron did was wonderful, pointing out to the American people or anybody that saw that movie in English that. That water table, you know, you remember the story, the power company there
right.
was dumping stuff into the water table and it was causing cancer everywhere. Well, guess what? Cancer is caused because all of us, you know, but all of these things, the prevention issues are that someone had their immune system disturbed in a serious way. Cancer doesn't just happen. Something makes it occur. And our system does not deal at all with a cause, our official Western medicine system. It only treats the cancer. They say, well, they measure it by measuring how much they reduce the tumor size.
Right, right.
And it's like stupid. If you have pancreatic cancer, they think they've cured you if you live 1 year. You go out and tell the patient they're only going to live a year, and you're going to spend $350,000 on chemotherapy to do it.
Well,
and you're going to have a horrible life. Wait a minute. That's not a cure. That's a joke. Breast cancer is a success if you live 5 years. 5 years, a 35-year-old woman that you're married to is only going to live 5 years, but that's a success? It isn't.
No, that's just unacceptable.
And she's going to lose all her hair. She's going to be horrible. You're going to die a horrible death.
But, Tim, could they not make money curing these things?
Not, you know.
Because you're going to come down with it. I don't think they're going to eradicate it.
Cancer? Sure you can.
Well, no, you mean where nobody ever gets it? We'll talk about that when we come back, because that's fascinating to me. Tim Bolin, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. And with our guest, crisis management consultant, Tim Bolin. We'll be back with Tim in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, Tim Bolin. Tim, let's talk a little bit about cancer. You said right at the top there before the break that we will one day, or we have the ability to eradicate cancer. And I think with all these environmental problems we create, people will always get it. I think one day we can cure it, but I'm not sure we can stop them from getting it. You think otherwise?
I sure do. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit just to put the cancer issue into perspective. I want to tell you what the top three causes of unnecessary death are in the United States first, and I'll explain when I'll get to the part about cancer. But what's important to know is that the number one killer of Americans, unnecessary deaths, is the Western medical system itself right now. 783,000 people die every year. I'll give you the statistics in a minute for that. But the number two cause of unnecessary death is heart disease. 699,000 people die. And there's a study that you can find on my website, by the way, called Death by Medicine. And if you just look up Death by Medicine or Death by Modern Medicine, there's a very good book, explains it all. It's a very good study. It's very authoritative. The third thing is cancer at 553,000 people a year in the United States. These numbers are in the United States. 553,000 people die of cancer. And I'm told by somebody in the last few days that those numbers, that cancer is now increasing again, and that cancer and heart disease are right together, neck and neck. So they're not really two and three.
And it may pass it.
And they may pass it. I want to back up to the number one killer, the system itself, because this is important. 106,000 people in our country, in the United States, die in hospitals from hospital adverse drug reactions. These are properly prescribed drugs, perhaps too many, whatever, 106,000 people. 98,000 people in the United States die of medical errors in hospitals. Medical errors.
So they go in to get something done, they end up dying because it was a mistake.
That's right. Bed sores. Remember Christopher Reeves?
Mm-hmm.
Bed sores. 115,000 people in our system are not turned over properly. Whatever it is that causes those bed sores are not dealt with. 115,000 people die from the effects of bed sores.
Infections, everything that
well, no. Infections are a separate one at 88,000 people.
Oh, my God.
Separately. And here's the shocker. Remember, we're dealing with hospitals and affiliated nursing homes. 108,800 people die from malnutrition in our system every year. And then 37,000 people die from unnecessary procedures. You've heard about that for years, where a doctor tells a woman she needs a hysterectomy because he needs a new Porsche. And then surgery-related accidents, 32,000.
Like leaving the surgical instrument inside the stomach and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Oops, drop the knife. Push the knife in a little too far. Like that, surgery-related. So I want to, if you add this up, I make the accusation against the system that 2.2 million Americans die unnecessarily in our Western medical system, period, every year in the United States. Let's put that into perspective. There's 292 million people in the U.S. Scary? Yeah, let me give you one more little fact. 55,000 people died from the effects of Vioxx. Remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
And what I remember about the system, I'm making a point about the system and how it is. Do you realize that a month ago, the FDA approved Vioxx for sale again? And they said, it was in the newspapers, it didn't make a big time, but I watch this sort of thing, I have a clipping service. Their statement was that, oh, well, those 55,000 people, that's just the price you pay to get a good medication out there on the market.
So the others will be okay, they say.
Well, it's okay for 55,000 Americans to die. And I said at the time, when I heard that, and I was talking, I was at a meeting, and I said, well, there's an interesting argument there. Let's take that argument and transpose it into a slightly different situation. If you take that same argument, that's okay. Okay, if it's okay there, then why were we so upset about 911 when only 3,000 people died? I mean, isn't that, using their argument, isn't that an acceptable number? Only 3,000 people died for the United States mm-hmm. to be operating in a worldwide economy? What a crazy argument to try and get the American people to accept. And, of course, you notice that Lester Crawford resigned a few days ago under pressure.
And he should have.
And he should have, and I know about the pressures that were going on behind the scenes. Friends of mine were putting those pressures on.
Now temporarily replaced by a guy who wants to wear two hats.
Yeah, At the end of this, I want to make this point. I'll make it here again. There's two important things that we as Americans need to do to change our health care system right away. There's two simple things. Everybody always wants a magic bullet. Well, I've got two of them, actually, not one. One, and it's terribly important, we've got to stop the pharmaceutical industry from advertising directly to the consumer. They've only been doing it since 1999. And then in 1999, the average prescription was about $30 a month, and you paid maybe a $4 copay or a $7 copay. That same prescription now, George, is $140 a month.
Oh,
the
my God.
Same prescription. They're driving America to the brink. Health insurance for a family of four is $14,700 a year now, and every company that has over 200 employees is required to provide health insurance for the employees. Who in the world, I mean, how can General Motors compete in a world economy and sell cars anywhere else?
No, you can't.
You can't. That's why we're losing our employees to Nicaragua. The drug industry is driving America to the brink, period. And it's time to stop it. And the number two thing? Dwight David Eisenhower, a hero of mine, I've read all of his books time and time again. He said when he went out as the presidency that, remember, he's the man that beat up Germany. He's the one that beat up Germany for us. He was a brilliant tactician and strategist. And he said at the end of his term, we have to put up barriers between the military-industrial complex and the military. And they set all these rules in place so that you can't work.
He knew it.
And he was right, and that's what's wrong with the FDA. The FDA, everywhere you look, are people from the drug industry. It's a revolving door, and the FDA works against us, not for us.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a lot of them are attorneys who used to work at these companies. Yep. They're now working on policy.
Exactly. And in fact, I from what I see, remember you, we talk about doctors, but I also have companies that are having problems with FDA. And things like that, because the FDA frankly sees it its mission to destroy anything that competes with pharmaceuticals. And believe me, when I talked about Star Trek technology, electromedicine is something that definitely competes with Big Pharma. And boy, is it under fire, and I'm doing everything I can to put a stop to that.
What do you think of the mainstream practitioner, the real MD, the guy who's the doctor, quote unquote, who also recommends some of this, and I use alternative medicine, who uses that too, maybe more so than pharmaceuticals? What do you think of that kind of guy?
I think these people are trying to make the transition. Younger doctors generally are. The medical schools like here in California, Stanford, for instance, has an alternative medicine program. So does Columbia. So does University of Texas. Everywhere you go has an alternative program developing in the world. But what that means, what do they mean by that is the issue. It's getting more and more and more younger doctors. Older ones are, again, frankly, a lot of the older ones are doing it too. But here, the real division is this, and where we're really not getting good medicine is from HMOs. We're just not. And that really what HMOs and the equivalent to that comes down to is this. I call it five-minute medicine. And my daughter criticized me for this, but I kind of get a license when I'm a writer. I could say something. It may not be quite true. It was a little bit of exaggeration to make the story better, but it goes like this. Five-minute medicine. If you're with an HMO and you got a problem, you make an appointment. A month and a half later, you're there. You wait an hour and a half in the waiting room, 20 minutes in the examining room, and the doctor comes in and you see him for 5 full minutes. And you probably only see a physician's assistant. For 2 minutes, he talks to you. While he's talking to you, he gets out his prescription pad, and in the last 3 minutes, he writes you 3 new prescriptions. That's an HMO.
Went to a doctor a couple months ago. Normal checkup, just some stuff. And he walks in after I filled out everything and gave the nurse everything. He walks in and goes, "So, what are you here for?" And I look at him like, "You're supposed to tell me. You've got all my paperwork."
Yeah.
He didn't even look at it.
Yeah.
He while he's talking to me, he's fidgeting around looking at the paperwork. So it doesn't make any sense.
That That's common stuff. But the new people, the people that I deal with, the cutting-edge people, I mean, chances are these doctors these days aren't driving Mercedes-Benz. Get that picture out of your mind. That's not them. You go into a hospital parking lot, see the Mercedes-Benz, that's not doctors. It's not working like that. The solo practitioners out there, here in California, we have 85,000 practicing MDs, licensed MDs, mm-hmm. and about 60% of them, roughly 58-59%, are solo practitioners. They're out there in their own offices, meaning one or two guys, no more. The rest of that, the 40-some percent, are in HMOs, or they're in hospitals or some other institutionalized process. But what we found, and really was bad, I deal with the Union American Physicians and Dentists, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. These are all my friends. One of the things we looked at was that the medical boards are picking on solo practitioners. Why?
They're going after them, you mean.
And the solo practitioners are the ones who spend more time with the patients. These guys, what you call the alternatives,
yeah.
These are the ones who find chronic fatigue. I got a client here a couple of years ago in California that he commonly, it's an hour and a half to 2.5 hours for your first appointment with a doctor. People are literally in shock that the doctor's asking them all these questions and doing all these things, and a 21-page, you know, they have to come in and they have to spend hours filling out stuff, asking them questions. And these new doctors, the laboratory tests that they order are fantastic. They're wonderful, the stuff they find. You know, because if you want to be healthy, you want to be healthy.
And I'm a big believer in these tests.
Me too.
I think that gives you the data they need in order to give you, hopefully, some natural alternatives to cure you.
Absolutely. And not only that, but like me, for instance, I had the testing done because they wanted to show me how it all worked. And I'm 62 years old. You have problems when you get a little older that are different than when you were younger. I had a little high blood pressure because of that. And at first I thought, well, maybe be honest. And no, you need fish oil and magnesium. And whoosh, my blood pressure went right on down. Well, it turns out that when you get a little older, you don't generate magnesium. So that's where the supplementation comes in.
Right.
Yeah, everybody hears the word supplementation. Supplements. Okay, what's a supplement? Well, something you need.
I tell you what's so scary, though, Tim. Those people on medicine, it's difficult for them to just say, okay, let's assume you're right. I'm going to stop doing all this.
No, don't do that. Find somebody to help you.
Yeah.
Go to somebody that can tell you all about it. Get into somebody. Yeah, people have to look around.
Who can ease you out of this, right? You have to get eased out of it.
Yeah, my mother is 87 years old. And she's in a plan. She's there, out there, and she wants to know stuff from me. And I go, oh my God! The doctor the other day, they told her to double her, cholesterol was getting high. They wanted to double her medication. She says, what do you think of that? And after I swore for a few times, I said, Mom, I'm going to get you another opinion. Let me get back to you on that, because she'll accept the word from another doctor.
Sure.
Even having her oldest son. But, she raised me right. But so we're not doing that. And that's all well and good, but that's the standard. That's the standard HMO procedure.
Three groups listen to the show here: young, middle-aged, and very elderly. It skews all kinds of ages. Mm-hmm. What do you say to the young person listening to the program right now?
Young people, if you're as tuned into computers, if you're tuned into healthcare as you are into computers, good for you. You got a good life ahead of you. Do it. I mean, a lot of young people really know stuff amazing about healthcare. They look at things differently. Middle-aged, actually, the same things are here. I am amazed at what's going on. And like California now, we say that about 50% of the United States, 50% of the total U.S. health dollar is being spent on alternatives right now, George. It has for since 1999, and that's what's scaring the drug industry.
Yeah.
That's why they wanted to go on television.
Well, that's
because they're losing market share.
And that's why they want to control the supplements in Europe.
That's right. We are going there. Yeah, you're right. That's a problem. But Big Pharma is Big Pharma, and they're worldwide. But young people, well, I'll give the same advice to everybody. I never had a course in nutrition or how my body worked at all my whole life, ever. Basically, when I had science in high school, science in college, nothing ever covered any of that. But we need now, like a lot of the people are saying, we need to learn about our own health. That's the key. And the young people, learn about your own health.
And let me tell you something,
middle-aged,
Tim.
Old people learn.
If you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
You don't have anything.
Now, it doesn't matter what your career is, how much money you make. You know, you got to have your health and the love of your family. If you lose both of those, you know, the rest is tough. Hey, let me get this quick story in, by the way, Tim. An Amtrak train, as you heard about in our first hour from a open line caller, traveling southbound from St. Louis, crashed 10 miles south of DeSoto tonight. It is in a very rural area. According to police who just talked to producer Tom, very hard to get to. Some passengers are safe. They're at the DeSoto Fire Station in DeSoto, Missouri. Several passengers injured. That's really all we have right now. So that I don't even know the extent of damage of that Amtrak train that crashed or derailed. But if we get any more information, I'll pass that on as well. Do you sometimes get into arguments with mainstream doctors? I mean, wherever you speak, do they stand up and say, "What are you saying to us?"
I'm mostly at cutting edge places. It's the internet where I get argument. I have a very large newsletter that goes out, and people can sign up on my site, which you'll tell them about, and you put it on your site.
Mm-hmm.
And I get arguments there. I get a lot of responses about I don't know what I'm talking about or whatever. And I try and stay civil and say, well, I can back up what I said by going here, and if you'd like to take a look, here it is. There's change. We're in the middle of a paradigm shift right now. Our healthcare system is not working.
So when we come back, Tim, at the top of the hour, I want to talk about why you think the medical and dental system in this country is broken, what it can be done to patch up, to fix, and then, you know, talk about some specifics. I really want to get your thoughts on cancer again, heart
disease.
I sure will.
Well, I'm going there, George.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Excellent. We'll do that. Your website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For people, though, who are just driving around, they're not linked up, would you spell the website for me, Tim?
It's QuackPotWatch, QuackPotWatch.org.
Simple as that. No.com. I got to make sure people know that when they go hunting for websites. This one is .org. What got you into this, by the way?
I was in crisis management for a very long time, and then suddenly we got into healthcare, and an attorney referred somebody to us. So we specialize in dealing with people who are having problems with government agencies. And then I got somebody in healthcare, then I got another, and finally the fourth one, I took the client out to lunch and said, "I'm buying lunch today. And I'm not putting it on your bill. I got questions to ask you." And the question is, what in the world is alternative medicine? I keep hearing about it. And that's how it started.
Okay. Well, stay with us, Tim. I'm George Norrie, of course. This is Coast to Coast AM. And this is some news you can use. So when we come right back, we'll continue talking with Tim next hour about some of these other issues that really affect all of you, whether you're young, middle-aged, or old. Eventually, you know, you're going to have to look at this when you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? The old body just ain't what it used to be. So I'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM.